And this next part is the third movement.
And the people who are living here, but they've come from somewhere else, we should know that they don't come just because they want to, just because they want to see different country or different stuff. They had to. First of all, we should know this. They had to. One should put oneself in place of the newcomer, what he can do and how he can do or she can do, then they will see that that condition makes them come here. From then on, if we understand the reason why and how, then we can sort the problems out.
What dangerous love is this? Oh,
it's not that difficult.
Oh my soul, wondrous love is this, oh my soul. What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, for my soul. To bear the dreadful curse for my soul.
Is that all I'm getting? Sorry.
When I was sinking down, sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down beneath God's righteous frown, Christ laid aside his crown. Christ laid aside his crown for my soul.
The only thing that is difficult to see them a burden on the social life, on the political life, on the economic life. Whereas if it can be organized, it could be a very, very rich source of easiness, very, very good source of happiness for everybody.
You know what, I might try my
she's in red.
Here, I think even more than 30 years. First of all, I lived in St. David's Terrace, which is just around the corner from the community centre. And then when my family grew, because I got remarried and then had a stepdaughter as well, we moved right across the road from the centre to in St. David's Hill. To what used to be Mead's Guest House. And that's really when I got involved in the centre. But the thing that I first of all remember was that there used to be a warden here whose name was Tim. And he and his family lived on the top floor. And they they did quite a lot in the garden in terms of getting people together for barbecues and things, community barbecues. But also in the centre, in that garden, there's a mulberry tree, which is over 100 years old. And in about 1975, it got struck by lightning. And so everybody thought, well, you know, it's so old, how wonderfully it's performed. Because there were mulberry trees, mulberries coming off it every single season. So we thought, how wonderful, now it's going to die. But not a bit of it. It is cleft in two, but it's still living and it still produces lovely mulberries every season. And if you eat the mulberry, apparently they smell like green beans, a smell and a taste left in your mouth of green beans.
For the Alliance Française. Our classes take place at Exeter Community Centre. You know, we teach French, that's our main thing, but you know, teaching French, I think we bring a whole load of aspects of French culture to our students. But also, I think what we try to create in our classes is a space for people to exchange, understand each other, exchange ideas, and develop some friendship as well. Alliance Française has always promoted a lot of debate, but also tolerance. I'm pleased to hear from our students that they do find that, and they're coming back to us to for these aspects of debate, tolerance. And for me, you know, I would say, as a French national who have been living in the UK for 20 years, learning English has been like a freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of thinking, meeting other people. And this is what I think we want, the teachers at Alliance Française and myself, what want people as well to experience, that there's freedom and tolerance in our lessons, as well as, of course, French.
Let me think. I'll just be thinking a lot about whether they're going to go back to normal, do normal things, and what is normal. And it's a really good opportunity to change the way we do things. Do things radically, like reorganise the economy. So it's a really good opportunity. Quieter, Green New Deal, 4-day week, people just don't rush around. It's actually nice to travel on. I just got off the train from coming back from Cornwall, and it's just nice to be on trains and buses where there aren't that many people. I wasn't born in the 50s, but it feels like the 1950s in terms of transport. So thinking about all that, yeah.
my thumb.
Something wicked this way comes.
To get my life back on track and met a girl, moved to Wales with her, got a job. The relationship broke up, so I went back home to Ireland. I was there for 7 years, but I got mixed up with gambling and basically messed my life up totally through that. I had to get away. So I spent 17 years of my life in Cornwall. And this is about as close as I could get because I've got an ex-wife and a family down there. Don't go on too well with me. So. I just looked on the internet for places that had good facilities for homeless people, and Exeter was the place, so here I am. Been here 18 months now, absolutely love it. I love the city, I love the people, it's just brilliant. Now, when I arrived here, I didn't really have a plan, but you know, I intend to settle down here. I was living in a tent, but with coronavirus, I isolated in my tent for a week, but the various charities were worried I was too isolated. So they got me into a halfway house called Trailways, where I've been ever since. And through that, I've now actually gone onto the housing list. But unfortunately, as a single male, you get the D-banding, so anybody being a C, B or A gets first choice. But no, it's come along well. 5 weeks ago, the big issue in Exeter virtually collapsed. And so I said, I'll do it. So I'll now run the big issue in Exeter. Yeah. Which is very, very, very rewarding, very tiring, but very satisfying. And I've got a good bunch of people out there selling. I've spoken to each and every one of them, because we used to have a target figure of sales to get your pitch. That's virtually impossible to make that now. So I just said to people, right, this is your pitch. You keep it, but give time to others on it, share your pitch, and cooperate with each other, talk to each other out. And this is what everybody's doing, and it's just brilliant, it really is. Yeah. And yeah, it's going well, it's really going well. Gambling, well, at first, it was when it started going wrong, I was gambling on everything. This is called chasing the money, and which is a totally wrong thing to do, but. When I came back to the UK, I was still gambling at weekends, and then it was 18 months ago where on one On one Sunday, I lost £110. The following Sunday, I lost £90. I thought, I've got to do something about this. So I actually stopped gambling on the horses, but I still allowed myself £10 a week to do small football bets, because I knew I had the addiction, so I was feeding the addiction like that. Plus also Sarah, that used to run our office here, every time I saw her, I'd say, it's been a week since I bet on a horse, it's been a month since I bet on a horse. And then at a point, I can't tell you when, it stopped being about me not gambling, it became about me not letting her down. I didn't want to let her down, so I was just doing the football bets. Then coronavirus came along, so I couldn't even do that. And 9 weeks out of lockdown, I haven't been to the bookies. I think I've got it cracked.
But the time I came, I was the second female.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And other lady, she came just a year or 2 years before me, but she didn't go out at all.
Do you remember when you started as a second, maybe nobody saw hijab and women?
No, I didn't wear hijab. I have started when I had I performed Hajj in 1974.
Oh yeah.
And then I started wearing hijab, but our dress was very nice,
very
moderate,
nice,
yeah. Not like English people, like show the legs and
short, yeah.
Like salwar kameez or saris.
Oh yeah, yeah. But just your hair not covered.
No.
And so those people
to
may
be honest,
feel that
no.
You are foreign and
because I wear saris all the time in the high street, the old ladies, they are very, very like curiosity. Just stopped me every time.
Wow.
Oh, where from you are? Oh, it's a very nice dress. Is it a dress? I said, no, it's a 6-yard piece. Oh, how come you make the pleat? And they asked me as that I have to show them in the high street.
Oh,
how I made the pleats and how I wear saris. So I still remember.
Is that
the
traditional
high street
dress?
Yes, from Bangladesh.
Oh,
so the young generations, they wear salwar kameez.
Yeah.
And after we got married, we wear saris. Because sari is, sometimes it looks elegant.
struggled with addiction in one form or another, mainly drugs, but anything else that, you know, I could get addicted to, I soon did. And there's been quite a few times in the last 14 years where, you know, I thought that, you know, I didn't need that, I was better than that. And, you know, I sort of pulled myself out of the gutter and, you know, there's been certain occasions, I met my husband, you know, and I couldn't have wanted more. You know, I had everything that I could ever dream of. And, you know, that wasn't good enough, really, to be, if I'm completely honest. It didn't feel like I deserved it. And, you know, I needed to go back just to check it out. And, you know, it wasn't long before I was back out, you know, heavily using drugs, alcohol, anything I could get my hands on. How the hell he put up with me, I really don't know. But, you know, our relationship was very much a boomerang relationship, if I'm honest. But, you know, I've got my drive, you know, I've got my little boy. And, you know, Saturdays and Sundays when I see him, when he comes running up to me with the biggest smile in the world, that's what makes it all worthwhile. And, you know, keeping people close is what's kept me clean, basically. And thing I've realised most about the last 12 months is how important friendship's been to me.
And so ends the third movement.